Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Friday Shoot-Around, your K-State basketball show. Presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. Now let's go to the Flint Hills, home of GPC's Hidden Studio. Here's your host, Ryan Gilbert.
This is the Friday Shoot-Around. I am Ryan Gilbert. He is former Kansas State guard Clint Stewart. K-State coming off of two games in Kansas City. One win that was pretty impressive for a drum tank squad, but against Iowa State, Clint, I think K-State sort of just ran out of gas, didn't it?
Yeah, I think we definitely did. And you saw that with a lot of the teams that won on that second day, then going up against, the top four seeds. They obviously had a lot more energy coming out from the very beginning. And then I think we saw that in all four games. Unfortunately, that affected our game as well.
Real quick here before we start to break things down. Of course, we're gonna take a look at the resume. Jerome Tang is very optimistic. We'll see how myself and Clint feel about that. But real quick here, a quick message from our sponsor, Booth Creek Wagyu.
From the tailgate to the back deck, remember to elevate your grilling this season with our friends from Booth Creek Wagyu. Their ranch is located just north of Manhattan and proudly raises authentic Wagyu beef from farm to table. Visit their retail locations in Manhattan and Overland Park or online at boothcreekwagyu.com.
Okay, Clint, do you think K-State did enough with that one win over Texas to get them over the hump and into that field of 68 on Swex and Sunday?
I'd like to say yes, but I definitely don't feel good about it. But I do think, Coach Tang made some really good points in his post-game interview yesterday, and he talked about our five quad one wins and who those were against. Talked about the three losses, obviously Miami, USC, and Oklahoma State, and those being the only three losses to teams that aren't going to be in the NCAA tournament this year. And so I think we made a really good case, but just based upon kind of where we're at and where some other teams are at, more importantly, I think it's going to be hard, but keep my hopes up. I'm hoping on Sunday we get that call and we're in, and then we can obviously celebrate.
Yeah, I certainly hope Jerome Tang is right. I just fear that he's not. And I'm not going to argue with really anything that Jerome Tang said, right? You look at the wins that Kansas State does have, and even those losses to USC and Miami at the time, those were surefire locks to make the NCAA tournament. And then things sort of derailed for whatever reasons for those teams. And so there's some things that, quite honestly, I know, Clint, we've outlined this, that are just out of control for this team. You lose two starters. They don't even play a single game for you. With Naquan Tomlin and Quez Glover. Obviously, I talked about those opponents not being as good as you once thought they would be. At the end of the day, though, Jerome Tang mentioned that K-State did win their games, that, the North Alabama one where you go to overtime or some of these close calls against the mid-majors that you should be blowing out. And Jerome Tang's not necessarily wrong that, they did win those games, but the net ranking, the selection committee, it goes deeper than that, than just winning those games. They want to see blowouts against those poor non-conference opponents, not just an overtime win.
Yeah, well, and some of it, can be the eye test, and I think that's where some of those, things come in when it comes to the committee, and then obviously when you're watching, watching us play, we've had some games where we played really well, we had some games where we didn't play well, and, some of them we didn't play well into that last 5 minutes, right? And so, I think some of it can be the eye test as well, and You know, unfortunately, you know, if we kind of look at the eye test over our body of work, you know, I can see why they might say, ah, we don't know if they're deserving or not. But like I said, we did beat, you know, KU, we did beat Baylor. We did beat Iowa State. You know, those are three top 10 wins. You know, one that sticks out to me, though, you know, one that we lost to, and I kind of already mentioned it, was Miami, you know, and I think why it sticks out to me is it hurts my heart seeing kind of why we lost that game. You know, if we remember back, Nigel Pack went off on us in that game. Actually, he had 28, which is the most points he scored in his, you know, 2 years at Miami. Hadn't scored that much since he was at Kansas State. So, you know, if that ends up to be in the game that hurts us, you know, I think that one's going to hurt me a lot. So, unfortunately, that's the way it rolls. But, you know, like I said, it's body of work and it's eye test. And then we'll see if the eye test is enough for the committee.
Yeah. Not to spend a whole bunch of time on that Miami game, but like we mentioned at the time, that was just Miami was really, really good. And Kansas State had coming off a big win over Providence in the Bahamas. That was a lot of fun to cover. I look forward to being out in, I believe, the Virgin Islands is where Kansas State's going to be next fall for that tournament. But I mean, it's just, you know, there were things out of their control. And you mentioned that one, the Miami game, that one, you know, Nigel Pack, maybe, I don't want to say he was playing for something greater in that game, but going up against his former team, maybe the sense of urgency just wasn't there. But it's just surprising when, you know, the Hurricanes were coming off a Final Four last year, right? You just didn't expect this, you know, resume to look the way that it does. But you look at the Big 12 body of work, Clint, you know, you win 9 games, you know, between one in Kansas City and then 8 in the regular season. That's Jerome Tang's probably, you know, if you got him to, you know, he had a 3-minute answer. It was almost 4 minutes long after that game against Iowa State that, you know, he stated his case. But if you got him to just say one reason, what's the number one reason that we should put you in the field of 68, I'm sure Jerome Tang would say winning 9 Big 12 games.
Yeah, I think so, you know, and obviously we wish we would have had the 9 in the conference, you know, regular season conference, and you get your 10th in the Big 12 tournament. You know, definitely had some opportunities to do that. But, you know, getting 9 in the Big 12 and how competitive it is, you know, night in, night out, you know, especially even trying to go win on the road and how hard it is to win on the road in the Big 12. You know, I think, you know, it's the best conference in America. You know, we have a lot of teams that are worthy, and, you know, it's unfortunate the way the field of 68 works is not always the best teams don't always get in, right? I mean, obviously, you know, there's automatic bids. There's, you know, teams that win their conference tournament, and so that they obviously get in. And there's a lot of, you know, as you can say, you know, not Power 6 conferences that are going to have teams in there that you'd say, well, K-State's better than that team, you know, but it's not the way it works. And so we're just hoping we're one of the 68. And then if we're in there, you know, once you get in, anything can happen.
Let's switch gears here and talk about Kansas City. I guess we can also talk about the game with Iowa State back in Manhattan. We haven't had a show here, Clint, since that. But also the game against Texas here to open things up. Kansas State didn't play well in the first half of that game, Clint. Let's be honest here, but the story of that game, the MVP of that game, in my eyes, was Day-Day Ames.
Yeah, Day-Day was phenomenal in that game. You know, we were down 10 at halftime. We came out, and, you know, normally when you go in at halftime and you're down, you know, 10 or, you know, even 8 or more, you know, I think the message you go into halftime is telling the players that the first 4 minutes are really important, you know, and those first 4 minutes can determine whether or not we're going to have an opportunity of getting back in the game or whether the other team is going to stretch the lead. And I think what we saw, we came out and we dominated early on in the second half, which allowed us to get back into the game. And then it was like, all right, now we're here. It's ball game. We can do this. You know, but Day-Day, I mean, he just made plays, driving the basketball, making shots. You know, he was just phenomenal, aggressive. You know, I thought he was smart. I thought it was his best game, you know, overall body of work, you know, for the entire season. And there was a time where we needed him to play really well. So it was great to see him, you know, get extended minutes, especially in the second half, because that, I don't believe he played as much in the first. But he got extended minutes in that second half, and then he did what he needed to do, which was nice to see.
With beating Iowa State on Saturday, did that kind of hurt Kansas State just with the Cyclones coming out with a much higher sense of urgency? Obviously, Iowa State was well-rested. K-State was playing on a back-to-back, but kind of felt like a payback game where Iowa State, especially in the second half, just kind of put it on K-State.
Yeah, well, and you know, anytime you you know, you go into the week, and obviously for Kansas State, you know, we had to play, you know, Texas the night before, and so all the preparation, right? And we talk about one game at a time, you know, you have to prepare for Texas. And so you have a week or, you know, several days to prepare for Texas. And then you win that game and it's a late game, right? I mean, 6 o'clock, we end it at 8:15, and so that night, you go in and you have film work and you start talking about, what we're going to do against Iowa State. And you saw some adjustments we did as far as playing. I call an eye in three, where we kind of guarded three guys. We had two guys in zone to try to throw them off a little bit. But you don't have a lot of time to really prepare. You say, well, you should know the opponent. Yeah, you know the opponent, but game to game, I mean, things kind of change, right? And you might want to guard guys differently. And even just the mental set of it of like, all right, this is the guy I got to guard. I'm going to watch extra film on him. I have several days to really get ready for him versus I just have, the next day to prepare for it, where Iowa State had a few weeks to prepare for, a week or so to prepare for K-State. And I think, they kind of took advantage of that. So it's unfortunate, but I thought we were right there. We cut it to one in the second half. And, but then, like you said, we ran out of gas.
They ran out of gas. Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with you there. But K-State also 20 turnovers in the game. A lot of those came. I think it was 12 in the second half. That was the story of the game. But also, Clint, that's just kind of been the story of the entire season for the Wildcats.
It has been, and it really hasn't changed. You'd like to see it change at some point. When we beat Iowa State at home, I believe it was like 14 to 15, turnovers. Like we had 14, or maybe we had 15, they had 14 or something like that. And so when you look at our game against them on Thursday, when you have 20 turnovers, the thing that's hard is a lot of our turnovers, like we say, are just lackadaisical, just not aggressive. I mean, kind of just dribbling the ball out of bounds, slipping and falling on the ground. But not only that, but then you look at it and you say, well, how many turnovers did we force? I think that's kind of been the biggest thing for me. We haven't forced a lot of turnovers, and so when you look at the possession game, that forcing turnovers, obviously offense rebounds, those give you extra possessions. And we just didn't get enough of them, And so when they have we have 14 more turnovers than Iowa State, I mean, it's going to be hard to win.
Let's switch gears here. Clint, we're all over the place today with Naquan Tomlin and Quez Glover. I wanted to touch on them. And let's go back to the resume a little bit here. Drum Tang mentioned that they were playing without two of their, would-be starters going into the year. Obviously, if you lose those if those players never existed, right, you would have, the starting five heading into the year, it would have been what it would have been. But when you lose those guys unexpectedly, you don't anticipate not playing without them. I think that's kind of where K-State, and this isn't necessarily a fault to Jerome Tang and his staff or this team, but they tried to learn how to adjust playing without them for maybe the first month of the season. In their eyes, kind of paraphrasing some stuff that Jerome Tang said, that they want to be clicking once conference play starts early on. Let's figure some stuff out. Let's get better. Let's tweak these, things we can adjust. And I think that ultimately, Clint, that's kind of coming back to bite this team with the poor non-conference resume and that strength of schedule, all that stuff, just the non-conference. You win 9 games in the Big 12, that should be enough. But the non-conference, it kind of stems, the poor non-conference really stems from losing those two players.
Well, and if you think about Quez Glover is kind of the unknown, right? We kind of expected him to come in, and obviously we expect all the guys to come in and play well, but it's still kind of the unknown, right? Because we haven't seen him in the Big 12 atmosphere yet or environment. But Tomlin, we have seen, and we know what he can do. We know he's an all Big 12 type performer. Was going to be one of our leaders this year on the floor, scoring the basketball, rebounding the basketball, making things happen. He's a matchup nightmare. I think he's so long and athletic. So you know what he can bring. And when you lose, a player of his caliber, and obviously our best returning player that we have had coming back, it's a blow to the team, and it makes it hard to kind of fill that gap. I mean, you can't fill that gap with one player, right? So multiple guys have to try to step up. And, that's where you give the hats off to Coach Tang and the staff. Most teams that lose their best player coming back from the season before, plus another player that you'd say, coming in has the potential to start or obviously play big minutes and can score the basketball. It's tough to fill. I mean, you can see what happened to, no straight comparison here, but you can see what happened to KU without Hunter Dickinson and McCollier against Cincinnati, right? So, it's tough. But I thought, they did a good job of just trying to fill that as best as they could and then still have the season that we had.
Kaluma, Perry, and Carter, those guys gave it their all this season. They were fine. They were good at times, great at times, but they would have been even better if that weight was lifted off of their shoulders with Tomlin and Glover on the team. But it is what it is. I know K-State's not looking for excuses here. But, Clint, we'll take a quick break. We can dive more into the resume here in the second half. But first, let's take a quick break, Clint.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
From the tailgate to the back deck, remember to elevate your grilling this season with our friends from Booth Creek Wagyu. Their ranch is located just north of Manhattan and proudly raises authentic Wagyu beef from farm to table. Visit their retail locations in Manhattan and Overland Park or online at boothcreekwagyu.com.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
I want to ask you, Clint, was this the first game you attended all year long for K-State in person?
In person, yes. Yep. The Texas and then the Iowa State, yep.
Okay. Was there maybe something that you saw? This could be anything, schematics, physicality, the aggression, anything. Was there anything that stuck out to you seeing this team play that maybe you don't see on TV when you're there in person?
Well, I think in person, seeing the turnovers in person, live, we said too many that I thought, just some of them were bad spacing, as you kind of can see that the spacing a little bit better, obviously live than you can on TV. But then, some of them were just, like I said, losing our footing and things or dribbling the ball straight out of bounds. So those were obviously, just kind of disheartening as you kind of see that happening. But, I thought our team, they played hard, and that was a good thing. And you can see that on TV or whether you're live or not, but we played hard. You can see, the guys sticking together, the guys continue to try to fight, continue to try to do what they, had to do to try to go win. And so all those are obviously good things. But, it was nice, though, for me to be there and obviously be able to see them in person. I haven't had a lot of time this year to be able to do that. So it was nice to be able to cheer on the team and support the team, obviously, in Kansas City.
You'll have some free time, though, moving forward to go out and support the Cats maybe a little more next year, right?
That's right.
For those who don't know, Clint Stewart, I don't think we addressed this here on the show, did we?
No, we didn't.
But Stewart is no longer the Bartlesville Bruins basketball coach.
That's right. Yep. So stepped down at the end of the season. It's been 10 years. Had a good run. Obviously, really enjoyed my time and tremendous administration there in Bartlesville. And really glad, they gave me an opportunity 10 years ago when I was I call it a young chap, 27 years old, and then getting my first head coaching job, obviously in the high school level. And, they were really good to me. And so I enjoyed it. I have three kids, though, 11, 9, and 5. And, it's been a lot of time away from them over the last 10 years. And so I'm just looking forward to the next chapter.
Right on, man. We're happy for you and looking forward to what you have in store, Clint. But I mean, David Castillo, and that's another thing that Clint Stewart was able to produce, and I'm sure you'll be back up in Manhattan a lot to see him next year.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And he's so excited to get up there. And, his season just wrapped up at Sunrise, and he has one more the Nike Hoop Summit, I believe, coming up early April. And then after that, he'll be up there in Manhattan, our 1st of June for summer school and obviously start preparing for next year. So he's ready. He's excited. Like I said, he's purple through and through.
Let's go back to the resume, Clint. I feel like that's kind of what people want to figure out. Is it just the non-conference that's maybe holding this team back, or is there something that the committee might be seeing that maybe I'm not, or other people are not seeing.
So Tank, you know, he talked about a win being a win, and you know, no matter how you get it, you know, you just have to win. But when it comes to the net ratings, it's like you know, we get docked for, you know, winning overtime games, or, you know, especially against teams that you know, might not be in the Power Six conferences or whatnot. And so no, that's kind of hard, you know. And in any point in time, you know, as I've always thought about it as well, is you just got to win. You know, I know there's the eye test figure, you know, eye test to it as well, and, you know, how well the team is playing. And I think that can be big, but and also, you know, how do you play down the stretch? You know, the committee likes to see, you know, how are you playing kind of at the end of the season, because that can be a telling to how you're going to be able to do in the tournament as well. And I thought we were, you know, obviously better later here down the stretch than when we were kind of the, you know, previous few games before that. But you know, when you win, you win. And so I'm hoping that the committee takes that into account, and no matter, you know, who was against, we got the win, which is a lot better than getting the loss.
I want to pull up a quote for Jerome Tang after that game, after the loss to Iowa State. He said about the NIT, and I want to ask you about this. We're going to talk about what's going on, but right now I got this crazy faith inside of me, and I'm looking forward to Selection Sunday. So I think this team would go to the NIT. Is there anything there with that statement? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. But do you think that they would participate if they don't get in?
Yeah, well, I think it would be important for us, too, because of you know, us having so many young guys as well. And, you know, guys that can continue to get that experience that's needed. And when you talk about, you know, Day-Day and, you know, maybe R.J. Jones and maybe McCaleb Rich, you know, maybe he gets a few more minutes there in the NIT, you know. And so I think it can be very beneficial for our team. You know, it's always hard for seniors, because, you know, you're obviously dead set on the NCAA tournament. So it can always be a little bit tougher for seniors. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to go out with the, you know, just the bad taste of not making the NCAA tournament, and, you know, and sitting there on Selection Sunday and not getting called. So I'd hope that the team would, you know, consider it if obviously that ends up being the direction we have to go.
You looked at Baylor when Tang was there as an assistant, right? They went to the NIT. So, you know, I believe they would go. I'd be shocked if they didn't. And you mentioned it, you know, just go out and give the young guys and even the older guys. Tyler Perry, you know, he wants to go out with a bang, right? Even if that's not at the NCAA tournament level, I don't want to speak for them, but I think that they just want to play ball no matter where it's at.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like what is KD says that, you know, I just want a ball, right? No, I don't care who it is or where it's at or what. I just want to play basketball. And so hopefully guys, like I said, have that kind of mindset and want to finish, you know, to, you know, the right way. And there's no better thing to go do is if we don't get into the state tournament, then go win the NIT, you know, and tell them, you know, NCAA, you know, you were wrong, right? And so hopefully, you know, like I said, if that ends up being the direction we have to go, then our guys will be committed to it and, you know, be locked into trying to go win it.
What's Jerome Tang's message right now to his team? Maybe not necessarily right after that loss, but heading into Selection Sunday, is it guys kind of just sit back and wait, have that crazy faith like he mentioned?
Yeah, well, I know he's probably telling the team, hey, we're going to be in, right? Like, we're going to be in. Like, believe it, speak it, you know, and until we see something else, you know, that we're going to believe we're in, right? Versus coming into the Selection Sunday of, well, I don't know, guys, you know, we'll have to see what they say, you know. And so, you know, he who speaks it and believes it, you know, good things happen. So hopefully he's telling the team that, and then the guys all believe we're going to be in, and we see our name up there on Selection Sunday and say, told you, let's go.
Would a win over Iowa State on Thursday, would that have gotten K-State in, or do you think that K-State's still maybe on the outside looking in? Was that – did they need three, do you think, in Kansas City to actually really get in?
So I thought two, possibly three. We would have beat Iowa State, you know, I think obviously it's a better case to be in, you know, but I just felt good about where we were at because, you know, I'll be honest, I thought if we would have beat Iowa State, I thought we had a chance to beat Baylor, you know, and so, you know, and just kind of based upon how we play and how the season's gone. And I mean, and Tang has Coach Drew's number as well. So that's always nice, it seems. But, you know, I thought if, you know, we got by Texas, you know, I thought we had a chance against Iowa State. And if we beat them, I thought we would have beat beat Baylor and been in the championship, and then there leaves no doubt then, you know. And so now beating Houston, I think would have been a tough one, you know, just the way they play. And I mean, those guys, you talk about watching someone live and seeing how they get after it, you know, defensively. I mean, man, it's tough to score on them, you know. When they started the game and put TCU down 16-0 to start the game, I said, I'm glad I'm not out there playing, because I'd be like, coach, man, sub me out, man. I can't even dribble the ball against these guys. But, you know, hopefully, like I said, that, you know, the one against Texas, you know, hopefully is enough. I do think we would have got two probably, but if we would have got two, I do believe we would have got three.
TCU didn't score for like first 10 minutes of that game. So as ugly as K-State was maybe against Iowa State, boy, it could have been a lot worse for the Wildcats.
That is true. That is true.
So Jerome Tang here, he's pleading his case, right? And I get it. You know, he wants his team to get in. At the same time, though, K-State had a late lead at Texas Tech early on in Big 12 play. You know, the loss to TCU at home was crushing on that last second shot from the Horned Frogs. You know, you go out to Cincinnati, you have a chance to win that one late. They hit a shot to get over the hump. And so Jerome Tang, you know, I get what he's saying, but also, you know, K-State had those opportunities that were there. Obviously, you win the close games in overtime. You know, that's great. That's awesome. But you had chances to win more close games. And ultimately, you know, you can talk about all this and that, but at the end of the day, if K-State does not get in, you know, I think that those close losses are going to be the ones that sting, obviously, maybe more than all the stuff we've talked about before.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's why coaches talk about, you know, it's a possession game, you know, and the games you just mentioned, you know, came down to a possession or two, and you know, you didn't even talk about, you know, BYU and where we were at BYU, and an opportunity to win, and you know, we had a breakdown kind of late at the end of the game, and you know, it's a possession game, and each possession is so important, especially towards the end of the basketball game when it becomes crunch time, and you know, what, you know, what I call winning time, and then how are you going to perform in winning time? And so it's unfortunate because, you know, if you look at some of those losses you just mentioned, you know, you can say, man, that's, you know, five or six possessions in the season that they could have turned, you know, where we're currently at, you know, and make us a team that's automatically in versus a team that's, you know, relying on the selection committee to get us in. So it's a possession game, and unfortunately, you know, there's several possessions that I know we wish we could have back.
Let's wrap it up with this, Clint. If K-State does get into the tournament, if they're in, whether that, you know, they're probably going to be playing in Dayton if that does happen. But if K-State does get in, what do you think the ceiling would be for this team in March Madness?
Well, I think, you know, one, we got to get some guys healthy, you know, and obviously we saw Tyler Perry was, you know, kind of limping a little bit throughout this weekend. And so we got to get some guys healthy, but, you know, assuming that he gets back healthy and he's good to go, you know, I think Tang and staff, when it comes to preparing for an opponent, you know, I think they would be so well prepared, you know, that first round game, you know, and then obviously you get into that second round game, and that's where you only have, you know, a day or, you know, to kind of turn it around. But, you know, I would think we'd have a chance to get to the Sweet 16, you know, and then, as everyone says, you know, once you get some confidence as well, and if we make some shots, get some stops defensively, you get to the Sweet 16, you know, then it becomes even more important on that possession game. And then, you know, like I said, anything can happen, but, you know, we have guys that can make outside shots, which, you know, when you have someone that can get hot like Tyler Perry, you know, that always gives you a chance to win, you know, and always gives you a chance to come out and do something special. So, you know, like I said, hopefully we get in and we can have that opportunity to do something special.
K-State's expectations last year were higher as a 3 seed in the tournament. But if I'm Jerome Tang, I'm going to that committee and say, you know, hey guys, look what we did last year. We can do this again. Just get us in, give us a chance. And even if that's playing in Dayton for the first game, you know, first four, give us a chance. That's all I'd be saying if I was Jerome Tang.
That's it. All you want is a chance and that opportunity. So as long as there's a time on the clock, you know, take advantage of that time and kind of give everything we have towards it.
We'll see what happens, man. K-State right now is on the outside looking in. If you look at all the bracketology sites, it doesn't look good for Kansas State, but Jerome Tang put up his argument. You're going to be praying and hoping that all those bubble teams can lose. By the time you're watching this, maybe they have already lost some games or have won. But all you can do is have crazy faith. And like Clint said, treat it like you're going to be in and then see where you go from there.
That's it. That's all you can do.
Clint, I don't know what we'll do next week. If we're talking NIT, if we're talking NCAA tournament, we're talking nothing. We'll have something coming your way here on the YouTube channel. Clint, as always, I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production.
Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.